Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Oh, hi everyone. Welcome back. Okay, this week's episode in association with Virtue Water. If you haven't checked them out online, you can find them on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. It's definitely time you educated yourself on high alkaline water. Find out how it can enhance your body and your overall health. Check out everything you need to know online. Just search for Virtue Water on Instagram right now. This week, oh, what a gem we've got for you to listen. Wherever you are, if you're in the bath, you're driving to work, you're doing your walk, you're getting your steps in, you've got this in your ears, you're going to be totally inspired. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to do it all with this episode. Have you ever heard of Meatball Molly? She gets her name from working in the subway. She's from Norris Green. She's travelled the world and she is a superstar in her field. A cage fighting champion. You're about to hear the tricks, the highs, the lows, the love, the lot. It's all coming up now with Molly McCann.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Here she is. Hello to you, Miss Molly.
Yes. You okay?
I'm good. Where are you? Because a minute ago it was dead noisy and we had to sort of call it quits and start again. Where are you right now?
I am on the Stenaline ferry and we are moving, Lee. We are moving.
Oh,
I came back from Spain last week and yeah. I had to do my little isolation, and then I have a little bit of business over in Belfast, so I go over there for three days of the week and I'm here for the rest.
Well, this is the closest I'm getting to a holiday, speaking to you on a boat going somewhere different.
I know. Literally for the last 2 months I've not even been in Liverpool. I've literally probably done about 5 days in 2 months or 6 days, just quarantine, literally the last 5 days, yeah. Quarantining.
What's going on in your world right now? When's your next fight?
Okay, so the last fight was the 6th of February, mm-hmm. and I presume the next one will be in the summertime. You don't really know, Lee. I got a call off my manager and he normally says, what are you doing on this day, Meatball? I'm like, who am I fighting and where, Graham? And he normally hits me with a really good location and a really hard partner, to be fair, because I have I've never fought in the same place twice whilst being in the UFC, but until we get the fight off the UFC, I'll be doing some grappling competitions around the world just to stay active and stay competing and getting ready.
So you don't get a chance to get all fat in between fights? You can't go, right, I'm doing nothing for 3 months, I'm just going to eat Mackies and go nuts, get a few shandies in? Does it not work like that, Molly?
That's exactly what I do. I'm like, I live in Maggie Foo's or I live on Seal Street and in the Baltic Market, but you always have to kind of be ready. You always, unless you're like headlining cards, which like the likes of Darren Taylor's, I think they can dictate a little bit more when they're going to be ready. But when you're just about, when you're top 15 and that, they, or top 10 still, they just like, right, you go in here and you've got to be ready. But as long as I don't get injured post fight, I'm normally, I don't tend to get that fat. But I was in,
it's not like me when I get invited to a wedding. When I get invited to a wedding and I'm like, right, quit the Atkins for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're on a weight cut before you get there, aren't you? 100%. I've just been in Spain and the restaurants are open right from 12 till 6. Well, I was like, it's like I'd won the lottery. I was like, oh my, what, really? I can eat inside? But he's like, yeah. And I was like, I'm allowed alcohol and there's music. And he was like, yeah. And listen, over there, Leandy free pour, right? So I was like, my coach out there took me for the Italian and I was like, can I have a pink gin and Sprite Zero? And they just come and they bring the whole bottle of gin and just free pour, and you have to say when.
Oh,
so I was like,
no.
I'll have a gin top. Two gins later, I'm getting put to bed. So yeah, it was amazing. I'm literally sailing past the lava building now. So are you in the tower?
Up in the tower, I'm in my living room in my pajamas now. Honestly, I've been here since last year. I can't get in the tower because of this 2 metre rule. The studios are too small.
Stop.
Unlike you. I know, stop. Swanning about on your boat.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Where does the job take you then? I love to travel, Molly. So do me a favour and just push me over the edge and tell me all the amazing places that you've been with your job.
With MMA, I've been nearly every state in America, all around Europe. So I've been Brazil. I only got into MMA about 7 years ago, so I've only really travelled the last, say, 3 or 4 years. But before that, every summer I go away, and I'd normally just go and travel and train, to be honest. But the MMA community is different, so it's kind of like you're always paying it forward, and the knowledge that you get off different coaches is always given for free, but they accept you no matter what. So the culture in MMA is like different to boxing or football culture. Do you know, where like online, if Everton play rubbish, then the next day they're getting absolutely destroyed online. It's a little bit different in MMA because there's no hiding. It's not like boxing where you can fight a bum just to say you've had a fight, and it's like everyone's a world champion in their discipline, and everyone's like nails. So you do need to travel to train, to learn, because you're doing about 9 disciplines in one fight, and the good thing is everyone's so accommodating and so welcoming. Like after my last fight, I was in Las Vegas and I ended up staying on for an extra week and cornering the girl who beat me in UFC Liverpool, and she was from Canada but lives in Florida, and then her coach is like, come and live with us, come and train with us. And then I've got people in college, come and train, come and live here. It's really hard, but I'm from the best city in the world, so I always come home. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, not unlike coming,
I have to remember
home.
No, like I never take for granted my job, because I didn't get into it till a bit late. Like I say, like some people have been doing this since they was 11, 12. I was 24 when I started MMA. And like I went to uni and I was learning how to be a teacher, a PE teacher. And I used to play football and I used to box. And I know how quick you can be out of a job or you can't do it. So I kind of fell into my dream job at the age of 25, 24. And every single day I know how blessed I am to do it. So when I was in Spain and I was isolated still, I was like, I'd train and then I'd be on my own in my room. I really, really, really missed home. And then when I got home and I seen my dog and my nan, I was like, fucking hell, there's no place like home. When it is shut down.
You're driving down that 62 and you get to the end of the Rocky. And I'm sure there are nicer places to look at with your eyes, but nothing gives you that feeling.
No, but when it says welcome to live.
I
drove
breathing.
Down it, and then I was going down Edge Lane, and like, what's that song that goes, I can't get no sleep, and it came on, right, it was pitch, insomnia, and I proper thought, oh my god, this is just Liverpool. And I was like, I've had a mask on for 2 months, because everywhere else in the world, anywhere you go, you have to wear a mask, even when you're going for a run outside. So I pulled the window down and I was like a dog, I was like, Liverpool Lake.
Oh, that's just too much, isn't it? That is just too much, that feeling.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So last night, I'm looking through everything I can find about you, and I'm having a good nosy, and I'm like, this girl's life, it's like there hasn't been a plan. You know when you speak to athletes, and it's like, they had this dream when they were 7 years old, and the parents pushed them to train, and that's all they've ever done.
Yeah.
I'm like bamboozled by what happened with you, because you've done it all. You played for Liverpool Ladies. You trained in martial arts. You went back and forth with the two. Tell me as much as you can about your journey and how it all kicked off.
I was to and from a place called Bournemouth from like the age of about 6 or 7, so my mum would move down there for a job, so I was always back and forth. And when I was down there, I got bullied quite a bit, because it was like the late 90s and Bournemouth's really like a conservative seaside town, and then all us scousers just rock up and it's just like, what is going on? Do you know what I mean? So I'd be in school and I just used to get a little bit bullied, so my mum was like, yeah, we'll take you to karate, and I used to watch Bruce Lee and that, and Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I just used to think, yeah, I'll be like them. And I just had to get a little bit more tougher, because I'm really, really like a soft shite, to be fair, and I hate confrontation, which is mad considering it's my job and the way I get on when I'm in there. But I started karate and then I was doing Thai boxing, and I always just wanted to box, but my mum was like, no, your face, and the gyms wouldn't let me in anyway.
How tough is it, Molly, for a girl to get into what you do? When you mentioned there the gyms wouldn't let you in, I feel like there's a bit of a story in that. What do you mean? You were knocking on the door and they wouldn't let you in? Or
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, how old was that? Like 11, 12, 13. They would not let me in. They wouldn't. I'd knock on the door and they'd be like, no girls, love. And like, it's a bit shit. Like, I come from it. Like, just your average Scouse family where, like, the men probably go in the army, play football or box. Like, that's what our family do. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was just, I thought I'd follow in everyone else's footsteps and I couldn't. So when they were saying no, I was just like, well, I'll fucking show you. So I imagine, like, even more of a chip on my shoulder down south. And then I came home for a summer holiday. So my mum was working. I was in my nan's in Norris Green. And I was going round to St. Teresa's ABA. Yeah, I'd knock on the door and Danny would be like, no girls, love. My cousins was training in there. And I just turn up every day. And one day he just went, come on, man, if you've got a gum shield. And listen, I'd run round in a pair of boxing boots. I'd have the wraps on. I'd be skipping the lot, you know what I mean? And I went, I've got one. So he let me in. And then he let me spar the lads and I battered them. And one of the lads was called Chris, and he'd won the ABAs, and Danny, the coach, gave me Chris's trophy. He said, go and take that to your nan and tell her you're the only girl that we've let in and the only one we'll ever let in. And then that was it. Yeah, so then when I went back to Bournemouth, because I went to secondary school properly down there, I was doing bits and bobs, but I think I was about 15 and I was in Devon. My cousins were playing in a football tournament. We're all Scousers, so some man came over to me and went, hey, Liverpool ladies is having a trial, you should come down. And I didn't even say I didn't live in Liverpool, do you know what I mean? I just went, yeah, all right. So I said to my mum, I went, Mum, I'm going to Nanny's for the summer holidays. And she was like, all right. And then 2 weeks later, Liverpool lady signed me and I said, Mum, I'm not coming home. And she went, well, you've got to make sure you've got a job. You're in college and then you can play football. I went, sound. So I'd literally just walked into Liverpool Community College on Vauxhall Road. I said, what courses have you got that are open still? Because it was like August and they was fully booked. And he said, sport and recreation. I went, sound. He said, but it's like a trial course. I went, what do you mean? He said, well, the sports that we're coaching on it is boxing and football. So I went, sound. So then I ended up boxing at the Golden Gloves and getting like a coaching qualification. And then I got a job at Subway, hence the name Meatball, and Meatball, I was playing football. So I was always just on the go. And then when I was at uni, actually, it's funny, I was at uni and I went out with the lads. I was working in a nightclub called Rubber Soul and Passion, if you remember it. I think it's called House Now. The lads sent me home because they was like, you're wrecked, go home. I was like, all right. And then when I got home, Ronda Rousey, this MMA fighter woman, was on the telly. And then the next day, I was like, I'm just going to do that. So I emailed my coach, Paul. I said, mate, I want to be like that Ronda Rousey on the telly. So I'll be in tomorrow, which is Monday. And then 5 years to that day of emailing Paul, I headlined The Echo and I won a world title for Cage Warriors. So I just completely...
just gives me life. Molly, that is unbelievable. That is life. I've got all the goosebumps, all the feels. I'm just hoping that every lady of Liverpool who's listening to this podcast, when they finish with it, pass the headphones to the kids. Girls, boys, pass this on to your kids. Instill into them, go with your gut, go with your heart. Don't follow other trends. If you want to do something, ask the right people and just take a giant step and a leap of faith and do it. That's amazing.
Ladies of Liverpool.
I will say this to anyone that's listening, like, my life was written out for me and I was going to be a teacher. Like, that's what I was going to do, or I was going to coach professionally at a club, or be a sports development officer. It was all about teaching, do you know what I mean, and providing an outlet for kids or adults at whatever level, be it grassroots or at the elite level. But I literally was 4 weeks, 5 weeks away from handing my dissertation in and finishing university, and I just walked into the uni on the Monday after that Sunday and I was like, guys, I'm not coming back into lectures. And they're like, why? I was like, I'm going to go and do UFC. You don't even do UFC, do you know what I mean? It's called MMA. now, but this is how fucking, how just I didn't even know. But I was like, that's like saying, I'm going to go and do Premier League. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, you're going to go and play football. But so that was 2013. I'd say 2019, March 16th, I fought in the UFC in London. And I remember about 5 days before, I was sitting in Bold Street Coffee, because it's where I go every day to have a coffee after I've trained. And I was sat there and I just looked at Lou, and I just seen Louise, and I seen my old me tutor Ian, and they came over to me and they went, you've done it, you said you was going to do it and you've done it. I said, I haven't done it yet. I said, I haven't won in the UFC yet, no English woman has won yet. I said, I'm fighting on Saturday, it must have been the Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I was in there having scrambled egg and a black coffee, and I said to them, I said, I promise you now, I said, you'll see me on Paddy's Day in the Baltic Market running round like a mad woman when I've won.
Yeah.
And they went, I know we will. And anyway, I'm not sure if you ever seen me face after that fight, but it broke my orbital bone. I had one eye, and it was like a proper Rocky Balboa moment where I was like, yeah. Yo, Adrian! and I won anyway. I couldn't go out on Paddy's Day. You know what it's like, and it was the biggest day of the year. And I was I was in hospital. I was having surgery on my eye. But anyway, 5 days later, I'm out of London, out of surgery. I've got like a patch on like Captain Hook. And I walk in to Bold Street again, and lo and behold, my lecturer Louise is in there. And she just came over and she was like, "There's, if you put your mind to something, meatball, there's nothing you can't do, is there?" And I was like, "When it's proper like cliche, but."
So your proudest moments. Would you say that was it? That was like the moment where you went, I've done it, I've won. Oh, go on. Give us your proudest moment.
No, it's not. So when I was about 10, my mum got with this man called Paul. So I just called him like Pops. He was my stepdad. And when I was 21... we found out he had a terminal illness. We didn't know how long he had before. He had about 2 or 3 years. When I was about 24, I just won my second pro fight, and I had the opportunity to go to America to train for 3 months in Las Vegas, Colorado, and Detroit, Michigan. And he's gone, go, go, go. And I was like, I can't, Pops, because if you something the worst happens, I'll never forgive myself. And he's like, I'll never forgive myself if you don't get this opportunity. So I've gone anyway. And when I'm out there, I was going to go for 6 months, and 3 months in, my mum goes, you need to come home. I said, why? She goes, we're getting married. So I was like, oh my God, okay. So I flew home, and the proudest day for me was I got to introduce them for their first dance, and I got to give a speech on how much that it meant to me. And he was called Paul Pearson, and he never knew this when I was like saying speech and stuff, and I was like, you all thought you was getting rid of me. I said, but you're fucking not, because I'm taking the last name as well. And everyone just started laughing. So for me, the proudest moment of my life was like giving my mum away and getting that last name.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
When you can knock shite out of everyone, how do you find love? Do you find it difficult to find a partner?
Yeah, I was actually engaged when my dad was alive, and then when he was dying, it just, that relationship kind of fell apart. And then since then, so that was about 5 years this year. So I'd had 2 relationships since then with athletes. And
yeah, do you find that's the trick to try and find someone who's in your arena, who's living the same lifestyle as you?
This is what I thought. So for the last 5 years, I was in 2 different relationships, one for a year, one for 4 years. One was a boxer, one was a footballer, and they was the A side when I got with them. Like, they was the well-established sports person. And then it's like my value as a person, like knowing myself, knowing my own worth, and how successful I was becoming in my career kind of overtook theirs. And then they stepped away from the sport, from their sport, whilst I'm fully living mine. And I really, really found that to be the killer, really. Like, my career and their careers has probably killed our relationships. But I'd say I split up with my partner of 4 years last May. And since then, I've just like dated people who aren't in fighting, and it's a breath of fresh air, because I am a drinker and I do like to socialise, yeah. and it's nice now to not always just feel like I'm in a camp, because if I weren't allowed to drink, my partner was, and if they weren't allowed to drink, I was, because it'd be like I'd be in camp or they'd be in season, so it was it was just a lot of sacrifice, and now I've got the balance right where I understand, like, it's nice to go home and have a glass of wine with someone, or go out and have a few glasses then go out, and it's like I was just conditioned to be like, no, you can't do that, like, now, because in football and in boxing they're like sanctioned by like the FA and the Boxing Association, so their social medias, you can't be you, but if you look at mine, the good, the bad and the drunk, like, I am there, do you know what I mean? And and people appreciate the honesty, and it's like, I don't know, it's like I finally found myself. I think I turned 30 in lockdown last year, and I just remember thinking, like, I'm not accepting any less than what I deserve. So, like, me and my partner, the name was Paige, we chose to just, like, walk away from the situation, because I was like, I'm not being treated like this anymore, and it's just not worth it, do you know what I mean? So you need to just, take away the positives. Sorry, when I'd lost my dad, and I'd always lost people, I feel like I was holding on because I thought of tradition, like, if you're going to spend your last of your life with someone, like, you have to put up with their faults sometimes, and then you're never going to find the perfect person who you don't have a barney with every now and then, do you know what I mean? Because that's life. I just thought, no, I'm fucking Molly McCann, come on. How are people going to look up to me if I'm settling for less? Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. And I'm not saying that my previous relationship didn't give me, wasn't the best one of my life, because it was. Do you know what I mean? That was the love of my life, but it just wasn't working.
No, I think it doesn't need to be that hard. I think if it is that hard, and like you say, you're going to have your hurdles, you're going to have your dramas, but if it's constantly hard, it's a difficult decision, but it is the right one to walk away, isn't it? I mean, I can say in my industry, I've got mates who date, you know, other singers, actors, presenters, whatever else. And for me, I met the love of my life as a kid. He worked in Everton Sports. I was, you know, singing in pubs and clubs, and we have two totally different lives. And more often than not, people who don't know me will start chatting to me and they say, I don't know how, you know, your fella copes with you. You're always out working and hosting and you live this lifestyle. And I'm like, that's the reason it works. He doesn't give a shit about what I do for a living. He's not interested. He doesn't want to be a part of it. He does his thing. He works for the council. I do my thing. And in our house, jobs don't play a role in anything that we do.
Yeah, it's good that. It's very lucky. It's very lucky.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
For the girls listening right now, myself included, just, and I know this is the hardest thing to do, we always find it hard to big ourselves up, but just give us a few of these little tick boxes, the things you've achieved that would just, you know, blow people's minds. Some of the things that you just think, I can't believe I've actually done this.
Right, I won an ABA title when I was 18. So that's like the FA Cup of boxing. So everyone at my weight division in England is in it. And I won the seniors. I was like, I'd never even had a senior fight. I got a degree, first one in the family to get one. I paid for myself to go volunteering in Namibia, funded that myself, went out there and done that. Won a world title.
You're saying this like we go, oh, once I fix me tumble dryer off a YouTube video. You're like, won a world title, got a degree. You're 30 years old. Oh my God.
I know. Won the league with Liverpool.
Oh, stop.
I know, but you know what it is? Like, it's funny because I just never smell the roses, because I'm like bottom of the hill in our family, so our family's really quick-witted, and I'm like the slow one because I get punched in the face, do you know what I mean? So I'm just like bottom of the barrel, just get taken the piss out of all the time, so I'm never allowed to get I can never get too big for my boots. I live with my nan and my uncle, do you know what I mean? And I live in Kensington, and like, I still live alone because the day that I move out, I'm just not ready to move out again until it's all said and done, because fighting's lonely, do you know what I mean? But it keeps you humble, let me tell you.
What are we yet to see Meatball Molly do? What's next?
I want another world title. So I write, I've got like a gratitude journal, and every day I write my intentions down. So what I'm thankful for and what I'm going to do. I say I'm going to buy my house, I'm going to buy my mum's house, and I'd like in the end to set up a charity that uses sport and MMA as an activity to get kids off the street, because I'm like a kid who like passed around a little bit when I was younger, and sport is what saved my life. Like, and if I didn't have that, like, I really would be a little wrong. And so, like, that really saved me. So I'd like to create, like, more opportunities. And that's my reason for fighting now, is I've made the blueprint for kids to come up and to come through that wasn't previously there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I weren't allowed to go into a gym. And I would say this to Tash Jonas. I said, we're the generation that have, like, knocked the door down for the next generation to run through. Like, we're the ones who don't get exactly what we should be getting paid still. Like, we're getting paid well, but it can always be improved. But the kids who are coming up in the next 5-10 years, they're the ones who are going to get the good money, do you know what I mean? So it's all about that lasting legacy. And I have got to give back to the city. Nick Pete always said, there's only a few people, Molly, you don't take from the city and end up giving more back. And he said, I always think you're one of them who'll give more to this city than you've ever taken from it. So till that's all done.
What a plan. It's been an absolute honour to have you on the podcast, the True Lady of Liverpool. Thanks so much for your time, Molly. And best of luck with everything that's yet to come. Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com. Now I bet you're feeling totally empowered and ready to take on the world after that. If you fancy getting a Virtue water machine installed at home, you do need to find them on all the social media platforms. Repair your damaged cells, neutralise harmful free radicals in your water. Educate yourself. Go to Virtue Water on Instagram.
Ladies of Liverpool.